Hey, guess what, White Sox fans? Mothership Podcast number 106. Can you believe it? Hey, if you're looking for the most intelligent, most fun, hottest takes, most diverse, just overall most fabulous White Sox podcast out there in the world, what are you listening to me for? No, I'm just joking. This is the group. It's always a great crew on the Mothership Podcast. So get ready for the rockin'est rock steady beat of the Southside Sox podcast. Got four guests with me. Who knows who may crash? Because after all, the White Sox swept the series. I can imagine the doors are going to get broken down by other White Sox, Southside Sox writers, podcasters, folks about town. Hey, guess what? We got people here. The question I'm going to ask as the round table, let's associate some voices, names, people, answers. Okay, sweep. Good news, sweep. The cold shower reality check versus the Detroit Tigers. So the question is, beginning with one half of the Indianapolis field office and Crystal O'Keefe, is this hot streak? Is this real? Or is it a mirage? Are the White Sox back, Crystal?
It's the Tigers, so it's only half real.
Mirage-y. Okay. Adrian Serrano, going to bump it up to you. Talk to me. Real mirage.
It's real when it comes to playing against the Tigers and the Royals. Like, this is a bad division, and we all knew it was a bad division. But when we talk about the White Sox potential to win the division, we love to mention how bad the division is. But when they beat bad teams in the division, we tend not to try to talk about how bad the division is. But yeah, this is a Triple-A team. The Tigers have lost basically their entire starting pitching staff. And I think they had a position player pitch today for the fifth time this year. The fifth time a position player has pitched this year.
I could be wrong. It's fun when a third of the game is staffed by position players. It's getting a little bit ridiculous. Okay. He couldn't go to this game because it was in Detroit. I mean, he could have gone. He could have driven. He could have, you know, taken the bus, flown, whatever, walked, hitchhiked. He didn't, though. I don't think he was there. Dante Jones, though. Nevertheless, I need to know, is this hot streak? Is this swept series? Does this mean the Sox are back, or is it just a mirage?
I mean, the hot streak isn't as hot as Chicago right now. But, you know, it's the Tigers. Like the Detroit Lions for the Chicago Bears. It's always good to play Detroit. They will always remind you that it could be worse. It could be worse somehow.
Yes, it could. Oh, God. Yeah, no kidding. Perspective. Can you imagine being a Detroit Tigers fan right now? Oh, my gosh. He logged a fair amount of Detroit Tigers series coverage. It's Zach Hayes. And Zach, being real close to the action, tell me, is this sweep, does this mean the White Sox are back, or is this sort of still a little miragey?
Before I go into that, I just have to say that as much as it is fun to make fun of the Detroit Tigers now, how does it feel to have won like six division titles and gone to the World Series twice since the last time we were there?
Fair enough.
Let's get our licks in while we can.
Yes. But,
yeah, man. Hey, you know what? Fuck it. They're back. Let's say it. You know,
okay.
We're all in. No, I mean, this is their chance to, you know, get on a real hot streak. It doesn't mean it's the Tigers. It doesn't mean they didn't play well. You know, I mean, both two things can be true at once. They played really well, and the Tigers are not hard to play well against. They just have to take that momentum into the next few series and actually do something with it. I mean,
yeah,
you got a lot of divisional games left. I hate to say it's promising because the bar has been so low to this point, but at least, you know, they've been on the verge of being dead for a little while, and they're not quite dead yet. There is still time, and they do still clearly have a little bit of that dog in them, as they say. So it's, you know, you can't extrapolate all that much from it, but, you know, I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah. You know, it's just our getting acquainted. It's just our start of the podcast chat here. You know, it's not science. Nobody's going to fact check. Although, if somebody does, it could be Super Joseph Reese's completing this complete sense around stereo experience of the Indianapolis field office. We're going to wind up this opening question with Joe. You tend to be a little upbeat on the White Sox. You feeling good about this, or a little skeptical?
I'm thrilled with the way that they played this series. I'll start with that. In terms of the big picture, I am still a little bit skeptical. They did have that excellent series against Detroit to open the season, I guess. Although I guess that wasn't a sweep, but that they still did. that series at the beginning of the season did still give me a lot of positive vibes, even though they had the one loss on opening day then. Yeah, Detroit, they're just really not playing good baseball right now. So I would tend to lean toward this being more on Detroit than the White Sox right now. And I would need to see a little bit more from the White Sox before I'm completely sold that they are back. But I'm very happy with that the series went the way that it did.
Yeah. You can check me on the numbers here, Joe, but if we actually got to count should have swept as wins, White Sox, I think, would be in better shape right now. Unfortunately, yeah, we can't do that. Opening day, wow, it was a harbinger, I guess.
It is worth pointing out that this is the second time they've scored double digits this year, both against the Tigers at Comerica, and probably the two highest points of the fan base's like optimism after those two games, that April 3rd game and then this game, are probably the high points of optimism of the year so far.
And as me and Zach have discussed, in between that, in between those two games, three games where the White Sox scored 9 runs, all three of them, they found a way to not win. So let's reverse that, White Sox. Okay, speaking of numbers, hey, that's what you come to me for. That's the only value I provide to these podcasts, and usually in convoluted fashion. Hey, what a 13-0 game will do for run differential. White Sox are now projected to win more than 70 games this year. They are now looking as a 71-91 record. So things are looking up, man. Run differential down somewhere into the 30s. 20.8% chance of the playoffs. 0.5, that's 1%, 0.5% chance of winning the World Series. So things aren't all that rosy yet, but let me just throw this out generally speaking, because I think, Adrian, you just referred to the fact that, oh man, everybody's got some good vibes now, right? The White Sox are back. Everybody's happy. They're going to go to the World Series. But, and as silly as that seems, yes, it was Detroit, whatever. You know, there's something to be said about just, you know, this isn't a numbers thing, but, you know, just the good vibes of it. You know, Yoman Khan, I think, pretty much said it's just great to get a game like this under his belt. It starts to wear on you when things aren't going well. I'm sure he's not the only guy who said something like that post game or during this series. Is there something to be said, even as they fly into the teeth of maybe their last tough stretch of the season on the schedule with Houston, Toronto back to back, away and home? Is there something to be said of just feeling better about yourself?
It was pointed out that we think Lance Lynn might have been like the heart and soul of this team. He came back and morale was high again. So I think noticing that players are coming back or kind of building that confidence, and then just finally saying enough is enough and getting in there and fighting again, I think that's good. And it was nice because you saw, you know, Jose Abreu was building his little fort today, and like, they just seemed like they were in better moods. So I think if they can keep this like weird optimism and fun and fight going, then they aren't going to have any issues. And I think it makes everybody else feel better when you actually see them smiling. So
I like when Andrew Vaughn squatted, at least temporarily. I don't know if that was during a Abreu at bat or he's on deck. I like when he stole it and was eating his seeds and all that. That was fun too.
And Lucas and Michael Kopech were like throwing sunflower seeds.
Oh yeah. I was like, guys, how about the left hand? Do we need to throw the right
hand?
They
were all just having fun. I mean, yeah, it was a blowout, but like, they feel like they're kind of back in the groove again with this series. Yeah. I think everyone mentally needed this series.
Yeah. Anything to take your mind off the fact that it's like 120 degrees in the dugout, or could be. All right. Other thoughts, good vibes. Is going to carry the White Sox through into Houston. And even like, let's say just steal one of three games, you know, going in, probably not likely they're going to sweep or maybe win two, but you know, do you steal a game just by feeling good about it?
Well, the way I feel about it is hopefully a good vibes lead to us doing better in these two series against playoff, if not World Series contenders, potentially, because good vibes against Detroit are nice, you know. It's always nice to beat up on a team in a division, but I'd rather go to Toronto, beat Toronto 2 out of 3. I'd rather beat Houston 2 out of 3, because remember, Houston beat us in the playoffs. They embarrassed us. They showed the difference between World Series and a team that can win a division year after year. I mean, hey, at least we're better than the Twins in the fact that we, you know, won a couple games. I mean, won a game in the playoffs this year, last year. But that means nothing when the Twins are still ahead of us in the standings.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah, I think it's good for guys like, you know, the pre-mentioned Yoan Moncada, who's been struggling a bit and pressing and just having bad luck. I think his BABIP was down around like 133 or something, just like some ungodly number that is impossible if you actually tried to have that bad of luck on top of struggling and pressing. I think it's good for guys like that for sure. But I don't think we can really expect, you know, multiple hits from Josh Harrison and Seve Zavala in a game at the same time again, you know, in the next couple series with some better pitching.
Any one of my least favorite things. Oops, sorry.
No, go ahead, Zach.
No, I'm in agreement. No, one of my least favorite things that baseball nerds say is that there's like momentum is not real. Like that's just not true. It's funny. It's like Gordon Beckham spent that entire road trip saying some different variation of, well, you know, you just got to have a good thing happen and then you feel good and then other good things happen, which, you know, sounded kind of silly because he, you know, has not broadcasted very long and is still learning the many, many different tricks you learn to articulate the same idea a lot of different ways. But there's truth to it. And, you know, you can't go on a winning streak without starting somewhere. So, you know, if this lets them feel good, if this makes them feel good, then, you know, let that be the case. And look, it's not like they would feel better if they had lost three in a row. Yeah. So it's not like that would have done anything for their performance, if we're being honest, in my opinion. So yes, it's a good thing.
Yeah, Zach, good point. Just because you can't statistically, like, you know, approve clutch, let's say, that also doesn't mean there's nothing to it. I mean, it's not like a zero sum thing. Yeah. It's the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's probably not exactly Bacon's opinion, because whether or not he could express himself very well, I mean, I'm sure he's a little bit too hyped on what that means. But at the same time, yeah, you can't just, yeah, I guess you can't just nerd it and say, no, it doesn't exist. I can't see it. I can't prove it. It doesn't exist. That can't be. All right, Joe, again, I expect that you're going to feel that the good vibes can be real, but what happens when they face real pitching, a real team, a team that wants to keep, you know, Dante's referring to, they put the White Sox down last year. They want to keep them down.
For sure. It's been obviously, typically they have crumbled, you know, against good pitching this season pretty consistently. And I am a believer in momentum, and I do think that it never hurts to kind of have a higher sense of confidence. I am still bearish on their chances of you know, winning either series against on this road trip coming up, against Houston. I'm still a little bit skeptical that the good vibes will lead to, you know, success in that series. But it absolutely can make a difference. Not sure how big that difference is, but I like the Crystal's point about, you know, Lance Lynn kind of maybe getting, you know, more of an energetic reaction out of perhaps the team as a whole, because I think maybe that little, you know, argument he had with McEwing sparked something. Who knows? But I could see that being possible.
Believe me, I'm glad he's back. But it smells a little kikely when you give up 10 hits and you're like the heart and you're the guy barking the dugout. But listen, White Sox need something. It worked even for Keuchel once. I'm sorry to associate the two. I'll never do it again. Let's take a break. We'll be back to talk about something good, maybe something not so good, as every White Sox podcast goes. We'll be back with 106 in just a minute. Hang with us. Hey, White Sox fans, Brett Ballantini here, lucky enough to host yet another one of these with this great group of people from Southside Sox. That's the site you're reading. That's the site you're listening to. And sometimes that's the site you're even watching. White Sox have won 3 straight games. It's happened a couple times, 2-3 times already this year. So it's not unheard of. But boy, for a while there, it was seeming like it just might not ever happen again. So let's discuss the schedule. I think the White Sox, obviously, we knew going into the season, which is why we all said they'd win at least 90 games. Some of us just 90, some of us 100. Because you cannot ignore the division. It's still an unbalanced schedule, and the White Sox, in theory, theoretically, should benefit from that in 2022. They have played a, you know, it's undeniable. You don't have to look at the numbers to know they played a very difficult schedule, and it's, and the skew is only getting crazier after this next week. It seemed like a couple weeks ago came out, the White Sox have like a, I don't know, like 470 winning percentages they're playing against the rest of the year. Now it's gotta be lower than that because they've played a fair amount of good teams here in this 2 week stretch. So it's not a cakewalk, but the White Sox have benefited from the fact that they're still within five-ish games of first place. They're now, again, they're basically still flirting, as they have been all year, flirting with 500. It seems like they've taken a hit. They've played awfully. Maybe the opponents have a little to do with that, but they've played poorly, not to their expectations, yet they're still close enough to the surface to still be breathing. And now for the next two-thirds, the final two-thirds of the season, not a cakewalk, but have they managed to take the tough shots from this schedule, and are we due for what seems like maybe more of a water slide of a second two thirds of the season? Can you see this team just really taking off? Maybe not even still without playing as good as we think they can, but there are going to be a lot more Detroits on the schedule to come.
Well, my thing is,
Go ahead.
All right. So my thing is, earlier today I was listening to another podcast by the wonderful Scott Lewis of Barbershares Network, and he says something really good, like, about the White Sox that's, like, good in a concerning way, but it's a good point. The White Sox have multiple people on the team that, like, are either everyday players or, at least at one point, were in the rotation 5 days a week. I mean, you know, every fifth day. That are people that I look at and say, we should DFA them. They need to go. Championship level teams don't usually have that. Good teams kind of have it. So even though in the theory of many, 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 many White Sox fans, I'm sure they're thinking, oh, it's about to be easy. But I'm looking at the schedule right now, and the upcoming games are three in Houston, three at home against Toronto, four at home against Baltimore, which is going to be the nice little break in between good teams. And then we get three against the Angels, who aren't playing good, but still have Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and a plethora of very good baseball players. So it's not quite there yet. I need to see them perform against good teams before I even care about potential wild card scenarios or potential playoff scenarios. We don't need to look at who we could face in the playoffs. We have to look at potentially getting to the playoffs.
So Dante's called me out and said, prematurely saying the White Sox are not going to drown. Other thoughts? Because it's a good point.
I mean, the good news is they play this Tigers team 11 more times. Yes, that's like good news. First thing that makes, I mean, but that also really pulls down that winning percentage of your opponents that you're playing going forward. You still have a lot of games against Cleveland and Minnesota, and they've been as hurt as you have been, mostly. So, you know, you don't know what team you're going to play by the time those games start to show up, you know, if one of them makes a move or something. I think you kind of are going to know a lot about what's going to happen in this season, I think, by the midway point. I think they got a couple tough, you end, I think, up with Minnesota and Cleveland kind of back-to-back going into the All-Star break. And I think by that point, after this stretch, you're going to kind of know, and regardless of that schedule, because until this three-game sweep, like, this is, I think, their highest point now for, like, against under 500 teams, or like five over against under 500 teams now because of this three-game sweep. So, like, they haven't really been killing bad opponents either. So it's not really anything's a gimme, but I think depending on where it looks at the midway point, I think that's going to decide how excited I will be for the second half. Like, I'm not taking anything at this point right now because, you know, everybody is just so starved for good play. Like, we're, you know, trying to build a statue of AJ Pollock the last couple of days, and this guy is still like negative 0.3 F war on the season and the worst FanGraphs rated left fielder defensively. And like, I'm glad he's had a couple of multi-hit games against kind of some crummy teams, but like, let's settle down on, like, you know, like, this guy is being paid $11.5 million. Like, you're expecting more than just, you know, creeping up on zero, you know, F4. So
See, the White Sox win three games in a row and the host gets really high. Thanks for pulling me down, guys. Okay, continue. Pull me back down into the water and make me swallow a little bit more. What's going on with this team and how excited are we about the pending, it's not here yet, the pending turn of the schedule?
I still am excited about the schedule. And the way that you put it about they have a lot of Detroits left, like, I mean, yeah, they've had a lot of good experiences against Detroit. So, I mean, that. I know that their splits against teams above 500 versus below 500 overall haven't been dramatically different, but I don't think that will continue throughout the season. I think we'll start to see some separation there as the season goes on and the sample size gets larger. And it is important to note that, like, yeah, a lot of times it's not who you play, it's when you play them. So maybe they'll be facing a bad team that's in the middle of a hot stretch, so that can be a little bit unpredictable. But overall, these next couple of weeks, you know, between Toronto, Houston, you know, the Angels as well, it's not it's still there's the cupcake part of the schedule hasn't gotten here yet, but I'm overall, like, looking at the final in 3.5 or so months, I'm still optimistic about that. And it's even slightly better than we've been saying as far as remaining games against Detroit. They still have 13 left of those. So lots to look forward to in that regard.
Crystal and Zach, you've not been successful in resigning for the coverage for the rest of the season. You will be covering a significant amount of it. How are you feeling about the ride to the finish line?
You know, I feel like I'm on a crazy train right now because of you. I admittedly go into Slack when they're down bad and say, fuck you guys, I'm out. I feel like I'm at least once a week I say that and you won't let me quit.
Nope.
which I think is incredibly rude.
It is.
But then there are days like today where, you know, Zach and I had coverage today together and it was fun. And we were like playing off of each other because Zach was like, oh, I'm going to quote Crystal with the Taming of the Tigers. Like, we had fun and I didn't want to quit today. So again, it's like a crazy train where sometimes it's fun and sometimes I'm like, Brett, I hate you. I'm leaving. Don't call, don't text.
Trust me, not more than I hate myself. Chicago White Sox 2022. Don't let Crystal quit. Okay, Zach, you feeling upbeat?
I mean, I'm semi excited for the second half and the next two thirds of the season for a number of reasons, but the schedule's not really one of them. I honestly don't think it matters all that much. You know, if Eloy Jimenez comes back and puts up a 140 OPS plus, it's probably not going to be because of the schedule. I think, that being said, if, you know, the division comes down to a couple games, which it looks like it very well could, schedule could make a difference. As far as like team performance though, I almost don't really want to think about it because I feel like we're starting to fall. It almost makes us fall into the same trap that many of us did before the regular season, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, Lance is back and Tim is days away from coming mm-hmm. back. And Eloy will be back sooner or later, provided he doesn't need like a 16th rehab assignment. The health isn't guaranteed. And we saw for the first two and a half months of the season is that when you run out pitchers like Velasquez and Keuchel and what the general depth options and Jimmy Lambert on this team have been, it's really easy to lose games to the Royals and to the Orioles and to bad teams. So, you know, if some of that stuff doesn't get addressed or if injuries start cropping up again, I'm not sure it's going to matter because, I mean, if there's any, you know, the takeaway that most people are having from today's game is, okay, well, you don't get to face Alex Fiedo every game. You don't get to face position players for for a third of the game most of the time, but all the time. I would think the bigger takeaway, honestly, is that getting 8 scoreless innings out of Vince Velasquez and Davis Martin, as interesting as Martin looks, is probably not something to expect even against bad teams in the future. So I'm looking inward, you know, I'm trying to one game at a time, one series at a time. I'm not really concerned with the strength of schedule in August is right now. I do want to note, by the way, before my time is up, absolutely diabolical hosting move on your part, Brett, by comparing Lance Lynn to Dallas Keuchel for a second before instantly cutting to an ad before, you know, the volcano could erupt in your face. So just wanted to acknowledge, you know.
You know, it's been 106, and I'm not good at it, but maybe better than number one. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll stick with it.
They have the same amount of White Sox playoff wins.
Getting spicy.
real quick, like back to like the biggest thing I'm going to double up on with Zach is like, I don't care about the strength of schedule because all that matters is what we've been talking about the whole year. Like just play good against the Twins and the Guardians. That's all that matters. No Tony punting those games, no pretending that doesn't matter. It's not every game matters the same. Like, no, like, whoever wins this division would be the fourth place team in the AL East. Like just win this division. That's your only, that's your way to get in. So like take those games more seriously. Like I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The White Sox did not think they were going to have to crawl over Cleveland and Minnesota to get there. They figured they were just going to be, oh yeah, come on into the empty room. You finally showed up. Let's play a game. And now, yeah, the turntables have turned for sure. Okay, you know, I said negative and positive. So let's talk about something that is curious. And I think this has been a bugaboo for Zach in particular, but probably all of us, Adrian as well. The strange management of injured players. Michael Kopech is not going to throw 150 innings this year. He hurt himself. He felt his knee pop. Thankfully, it apparently is just fluid. He is able to pitch as soon as Sunday. I don't know if that's changed yet, but clearly he's not injured per se. But he's a guy who's going to need breaks. So now, because they're carrying him for a week until he might pitch Sunday, the White Sox they seem consistently voluntarily undermanning themselves pretty much game after game. And I know this is a game that every team has to play. It just doesn't seem like the White Sox are playing it well. Am I wrong? And I'm just trying to finally not be so high on this team and get angry by the end of this.
I think Tony just doesn't realize that you can actually put people on the injured list when they are injured and that you can get other players to come up and take their place.
But Crystal, that's where the adults in the room have to take over and step in, though.
I mean, yeah, because technically, like, that's Rick Hahn's job. So I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but like, if there was ever a conspiracy theory, I'd believe where Rick Hahn's trying to sabotage Tony, like, this injury IL situation is kind of one of those, like, because he's kind of hung him out to dry a few times. Like, you know, Kopech's got to miss time. Just put him on the 15 day, let him miss two starts. And, you know, we got Lance back and Vince Velasquez back. Like, you have enough starters. Like, I don't understand why you even like they're playing this like NFL coach secret strategy game. That's what Tony is doing. That's kind of annoying to me. Like, will Liam pitch today? Will he not? I don't know. Like, they don't care about that. Like, just go win the game. Like, they're not waiting in to see if your closer is going to be available or not. Like, that doesn't affect their game plan.
Yeah, Zach, I think you literally have referred to upper body and lower body, the doublespeak of the National Hockey League in all of this. This is foolish, right? And Lord knows, let's hope this isn't a matter of undermining. If Rick Hahn is choosing, no matter how angry he is about having to have hired Tony La Russa, if he's so upset about it, he's trying to undermine this window by goofing around with this. Oh, gosh, all right, we're bringing the mood down. Zach, thoughts, you want to chime in here on what's going on with these injuries? Because it seems like they're just blowing opportunities to run out 26 player roster.
Yeah, I think there's two things. I think usually I have zero things going through my head, but two in this case. The first is that I don't really want, it's one of those things where I'm not going to attribute to like malfeasance what could be otherwise attributed to just being stupid. You know, this is an organization that has proven it has really no coherent and consistent overarching philosophy when it comes to pretty much anything. You know, they're understaffed. They don't have much of an analytics department. Who the hell knows what's going on with their training department, you know, their athletic training department, as we've seen. I mean, we have pretty people who would be considered kind of experts on injury patterns, you know, and I'd go follow Derek Rhodes on Twitter, who's saying like, who literally builds dashboards for baseball prospectus to track injuries. And he's saying there's something going on here. This is like, you know, far, far too many similar like lower body tissue injuries for it to be a coincidence. So the long story short there is that this organization doesn't know what they're doing. So I'm prepared to say that's one part of it. I think another part of it, and you know, live arms is better than, you know, injured arms in the pen. But going from, I'm looking at the AAA Charlotte pitching staff right now and going in order of games pitched. So this is the most games pitched to the fewest games pitched. These are the ERAs. It's a 5.63, a 5.90, a 5.30, 1.66. Zach Muckenhern, come on up. Then you got a 7.20, a 3.79, a 6.65, a 7.06, a 7.88, a 6.75, and a 6.87.
You're saying that won't play.
There are no good pitchers in this organization beyond what we have in the major league level, more or like close to the majors. And that's, it's really a double-edged failure, I think. And ugh, gosh, it's just
Wes Benjamin, come back from Korea. Yeah, it is rough. Hey, let's do a speed round here, if you don't mind, friends. And we can end silly, because the rest of this has been very serious. Just a day or two ago. Yeah, listen, seriously, Crystal, you know, if we were going to applaud the White Sox for so many years of being the best, the healthiest organization for like a decade or more, boy, they need to be hammered twice over. Well, they're acting hammered twice over, frankly, for what's going on now, as Zach pointed out. Ozzie Guillen doesn't like exit velocity. He thinks that people call home, as if they call home after games, call home after games and say, yeah, I did really well. I was 0-for-4, but I hit the ball hard 4 times. Like, you should be ashamed of that. I suspect I know what the answers are, but hey, everybody, how do you feel about exit velocity? How do you feel about hitting the ball hard? Adrian, would you be embarrassed to call home after a game and say, geez, I am 0-for-4, but I hit the ball hard 4 times?
I mean, they used to have a term for it. It was just called a hang with them. And like, you would know, Hawk would talk all the time about like, oh, he's got bad luck. He hit it right on the screws, but right at somebody. Like, we just have a way to quantify this now. Like, I don't know why. I think this is, don't ever trust a coach, a former coach, to be unbiased about another coach's performance. And then about clearly what is the reason that he doesn't have a coaching job is because he doesn't believe in analytics, and they're not going to let that fly anymore.
A manager with an ex-manager with an agenda. I love you, Ozzy, but man, oh man, you are eminently quotable. Crystal, embarrassing to hit the ball hard 4 times, but not get on base?
I mean, no, this is what I say in Little League Baseball all the time. Like, hey, straighten it out, buddy. You'll get it next time. Like, I'll go home and be like, hey, my kid had 4 great hits. Maybe he got out, but at least he did something. And I always say, I'd prefer you strike out swinging, because at least I know you tried. Like, I don't think that's embarrassing. If a Jose Abreu wants to call me and say, Crystal, guess what? I hit the ball hard, really hard 4 times today. I'd be like, good job, buddy. Like, I'm really proud of you. So Ozzy can.
Yeah, Ozzy. Yeah, you hear that? You hear that sweet clink of the aluminum bat, and just know, all right, you got that feeling. You don't have that crazy vibration in your hands. Joe Reeses, embarrassed if you hit the ball hard 4 times, but have nothing to show for it.
That is not embarrassing, and yeah, the White Sox need to be looking at managers who don't really have ties to the White Sox. I think something we've learned. A lot about it lately.
Yeah, we have. Dante, you're hitting the ball hard 4 times, but they found gloves. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'll put it like this. You hit the ball hard. Good things usually happen. Like, even if it finds a glove, it means that you saw the ball. You saw where you're supposed to hit it to. It just happened to land in the wrong spot. I mean, also, speaking of exit velo, Aaron Judge sent the baseball to the moon the other day. It was 120 miles per hour. It was beautiful. That means, like, if I can get that every time somebody hits the ball, it's not going to go out of the park. But the harder you hit it, the further it'll usually go. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Zach, throwback to your own college career. Did you call home after a game in tears or mumbling when you hit the ball hard 4 times?
I mean, I was a pitcher, so I mean, I gave up enough hard hit.
Okay, ball. Yeah. So where you're crying when you heard all that crack of the bat?
I would not, but I, you know, if I had a 338 career slugging percentage like Ozzy, I, you know, he probably didn't have space to write home about anyway. So that being said, if I had whatever is, give me a few sips of whatever the hell is in, you know, Ozzy's cup just off of camera on, you know, the NBC Sports studio, and I'd probably say some shit like that too. So,
yep.
Yeah, because Zach, as a pitcher, you could have a guy go 0-for-4, but if you hit it four times really hard every time, you're like, oh man, I got lucky four times. Yeah. Like, you're not feeling good about it as a pitcher.
I partied. I was like, I did not deserve that. I gave up hits hard enough that it didn't matter. They found grass anyway. So, but you know, if that happened, I was not about to be up there talking shit about like, ha, you got it out. I'm about to be like,
also it's so hard they broke through the webbing. Okay, well, hey, that makes 1, 2, 3, 4, that makes 6 of us NBC Sports Chicago who could probably do a more honest job, though I know you won't call us because you're taking the Fox News approach to sports commentary. Anyhow, I'm Brett Ballantini, lucky enough to spend a little bit of time, half hour, with these five friendly folks. Adrian Serrano, the full Indianapolis field office of Joe Reeses and Crystal O'Keefe, Dante Jones, and former pitcher Zach Hayes. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back with you sooner than you think, especially if the White Sox keep winning. It could be nightly.